This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Yes, sir, Lucius. It's time now for a football conversation with one of our favorite guests. Last week's conversation was so fire, we went past the top of the hour. As we're joined now by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stink and Truth podcast. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Sorry if we made you late last week, Stink.
Oh, it's all good. It is all good.
Right on, dude. Well, it's been all good the last 2 weeks with the Cowboys. We can't figure out if they're getting their defense adjusted with Mike Zimmer, or if they just faced bad offenses there with the Giants and the Steelers. How do you know?
Well, I mean, you don't, but there's a couple things that I look at with this defense. You know, the Steelers are going to run the ball. They're going to get attempts. That's what they're going to do. And then, obviously, with Justin Fields, that there's a unique aspect to them defensively or offensively with him that creates, you know, that creates struggles in your defense. Like, anytime a quarterback has the opportunity to pull the ball and run with it in the zone, you know, the zone read type of stuff, It really limits the constriction of your defense, meaning on that side of the ball, the defensive end, the outside linebacker, the safeties, they have a tough time squeezing the run. And so cutback lanes usually become very big when you face a quarterback that can run the football. And so I thought they did a great job, and I think ultimately you miss two of your best players in DeMarcus Lawrence with the foot injury and then obviously Michael Parsons with a high ankle sprain. And what I've seen the last couple of weeks, and we can sit there and say, hey, man, it hasn't been against great opponents. I don't really care. The fact of the matter is your gap control defense and the way you're playing your gap control defense under Mike Zimmer has gotten so much better the last couple of weeks that I think there is dramatic improvement in what they're doing. And so that I'll take that and say, man, this is way different than what we did the first couple of weeks. And I understand that the opponents aren't as good, but the technique, the understanding of scheme, what you're trying to accomplish has gotten so much better that I'll take that. I think that's a marked improvement up to this point.
So what do you think about this matchup against Detroit and Ben Johnson and a creative run scheme and two really good backs in David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs?
Yeah, well, obviously Detroit won. Detroit has the top three, maybe the number one offensive line in football. So they're really good up front. And then you mentioned the scheme. They'll get you with, you know, their zone game. They'll get you with their G scheme game. They'll get you with their, you know, their gap game. They've got a really good trap and wham game. So, like, they've got a lot of stuff. And they run a lot of stuff, and they execute it exceptionally well. And then the other thing they do, because Dan Campbell is so apt to go for it, they get you in situations in second and long and third and long where you're playing pass and they bounce with a run. So second down and long to them is first down. And third down and, you know, in medium to long is second down. And so they'll catch you with this nickel run game, traps inside, some other things they do, outside stuff on pin and pull stuff, that they just really have an advantage because they'll go for it at any time. And so it really expands the amount you have to defend their run game in those situations where normally you don't have to really defend it there. They are going to give you that stuff. And so it just makes them that much more difficult. And then they're finding things in their passing game. Obviously, Jameson Williams has really developed, has really become very good. So he is a guy that can really, you know, can really stretch the field. We know Amon-Ra St. Brown is tremendous. They've developed a couple of guys with either Khalif or Timmy Patrick that has started to kind of come together as well. And then their tight end is Sam Laporta, who had a hamstring all through camp. So there was a bunch of routes early in the first couple of weeks of the season. He just wasn't running. He wasn't running anything vertical. He wasn't stretching the field. He wasn't running the over routes and all that stuff. Now all of a sudden he's running those things again, so it just opens up another weapon. So they're an incredibly tough team to defend because they are, you know, they're just loaded. They're loaded offensively.
Elsewhere around the NFC, we have the Niners struggling. How nervous would you be about them?
I'd still be fairly nervous. I still think, you know, you look at them right now, and they play Seattle on Thursday night, and that'll be for first place. You know, if they can win that, they're going to be tied for first place. So I'm worried about them. You know, I'm no longer thinking they're going to be a number one seed, but I still think they win that division. And, you know, offensively, you miss Christian McCaffrey, and a lot of people say, well, they're still running the ball with Jordan Mason, and he's been really good. And that's great, but what Jordan can't do is do the things that Christian does in the passing game and be the threat. And so then all of a sudden you start to have to think as a coordinator, as a defensive coach, like, hey, man, when Christian's in and Debo's in together, you know, they can switch and Debo can become the running back and Christian become the, you know, the wide receiver out there. And so then we have to have, you know, that conversation. We have to have those reps. And when you're working on those reps, there's other things that you're just letting go, right? That you only have so many reps during the week to prep it. And so when you have packages like that that are really hard to defend, you have to spend time on those in the meeting room and time on those on the practice field. And then ultimately what ends up happening is you spend less time on the stuff you know you're going to get. And so, like, Christian is a real huge loss for them, even though people will sit there and say, hey, they're still running the snot out of the ball. Yeah, they are, but – you know, it comes at a cost in the passing game.
It's Mark Schlereth here with you. Insider Calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season.
Hey, Stink, you know, Robert Saleh was relieved of his duties today, as you well know, and I was just curious about the role of maybe players as far as your top players and maybe some coaches' decisions in the front office. Is this maybe one of these cases that where the quarterback got the head coach here?
Yeah, that, you know, I don't really know. I know those players in that locker room really like Robert Saleh, and they're pretty much a top five defense in every defensive category. Sure. You can have, right? I mean, they're outstanding. Offensively, they've been essentially trash. I mean, they've been really bad. And they can't run the ball, and Aaron Rodgers can't get out of his own way, and his timing has not been good, and he's not on the same page with his receivers. But I will tell you this, you look at a lot of offenses across the league, a lot of offenses are finding the same thing because nobody plays in the preseason. Nobody's truly ready to play. And, you know, they had some injuries up front, and ultimately – that offensive line was, you know, a question mark coming into this thing. And so, you know, all those things I think are true. I don't know where Aaron and you know, and Robert Saleh's relationship is. I don't think it's good, you know, regardless of what, you know, is reported. You know, everything's hunky-dory.
Right.
Like that thing in New England when you know, Saleh was ready to celebrate with Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers pushed him, and then they had to both come out and say, oh, no, it was a – you know, it was all fun and games. And, you know, I always say the 10-point thing, give you a 2-score lead. And, you know, and I got you the 2-score lead. Like, that just seemed like a bunch of BS to me when they came up with that story. And then the whole thing about cadence, that was another big issue. And then it's hard for me to believe that Woody Johnson called Aaron Rodgers last night and had a conversation with him and didn't talk about the head coach and then fired him the next day.
Sure.
Like, there's a lot of things that are not congruent in that story between head coach and quarterback. So it certainly didn't feel like they got along real well. And there was a report out today that they were going to report that Nathaniel Hackett was no longer going to call the plays, and they were going to go to what's the guy's name? Todd Dowling as the play caller. So. You know, could that have precipitated this thing as well? Because, you know, Aaron has talked about how much he loves Hackett and how tight they are. So it certainly can speculate on it. Certainly doesn't. It smells fishy at best.
It's Mark Schlereth with us. You know, one of the topics coming out of the game that we've dug into a little bit is Micah Parsons so good against the pass when he's out and other guys are playing edge. You know, where do you look at that trade-off is if you have an edge who is fantastic at rushing the passer but may not always be the best player or have the best gap integrity against the run?
Yeah, I mean, that's one where you have to, you know, you got to sacrifice some of that stuff. You can't always rush the passer. you know, there's no question that Micah Parsons, I think, can play it. But you have to be disciplined in playing it. And, you know, that requires you to give up some of that pass rush ability. And so, you know, the thing about the game today and rushing the passer is if an average game is, you know, 65 plays on the defensive side of the ball, and that's about average, 60 to 65, an offense, a good coordinator is going to give you maybe 12 legit pass rush opportunities. Like, that's it. You're not getting a lot. You know, you're a lot of three-step drops, a lot of bubble screens, a lot of swing passes, you know, just a lot of quick passing game, five-step drops without a hitch. Like, you're not getting a lot of legit pass rush opportunities. Hey, when we do draw back seven steps, it's going to be a play pass situation where we're going to keep seven guys in or eight guys in. You know, we're going to chip you. We're going to run multiple guys at you. Like, so – like, one of the things that will happen to you when you're a supremely gifted pass rusher is you're going to pass rush on, you know, first and second down and try to, you know, play the run on your way to the quarterback. And that ruins gap integrity. That's a selfishness issue, right? So you can sit there and talk all you want about, hey, we got to be committed, we got to do this, and, you know, guys. But the bottom line is that's part of the responsibility of playing the edge. And he is so gifted, and he's such a good player. But – you know, I mean, it's hard to get sacks in this league. And ultimately, you know, unfortunately, that's how we measure crap, right? It's like wide receivers. You know, the guy who blocks and the guy who runs just filthy for the love of the game routes, you know, when you're not a primary, when you may be the third choice or the fourth choice, are you running that route like it? Your life depended upon it? Are you pulling coverage running that route? Or are you half-assing it where, you know, defenders go, oh, yeah, he's not actually – the ball's not intended for him, so I can slough off my coverage and go help somebody else. Like, do you really do the dirty work stuff? And that, to me, is so much – like, there's so much more about football than just statistically getting a sack, you know. And the funniest thing in the world for me is watching film – and watching a quarterback like get tripped, like maybe a guard steps on him, you know, and he falls down.
Mm-hmm.
And watch the effort and the scramble of defensive linemen going to try to touch him first. Bunch of selfish turds. Like, they're scrambling over one another to go touch him. Like, you know, we're going to get this cheap sack. And it just makes me cringe about that position in general. So I hate that that's the way it's measured. I really do. But, you know, that's the way we look at things. Everything has become a fantasy football world that we live in.
Great stuff, as always, Mark. Have a great week, Sitch. We'll catch up with you next Tuesday.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Buffalo Wild Wings Friday, KNC Masterpiece. That's your next Flagtober hit. Salute to all the Tolus who came by and said hi to Chief this morning at Lowe's.
It was awesome.
30 in Cockrell Hill. It was an amazing Flagtober event, and it continues Friday. Buffalo Wild Wings. That's in Louisville, the Louisville location with the KNC Masterpiece. Go say hi on Friday. Chief, in addition to the finest coming up.
Yes, sir. Jerry poked the bear, and we have a new fastest man in the league, and as well as some stats of the day for you next year in the nation.